In the news update for June the 20th, 2022, on this Monday early morning edition, part 3, we're on XM Radio. We're streaming across all podcasting platforms. And we're streaming across on Facebook, and we're streaming across on FM and XM Radio. You can help get on the ground floor by making a donation to us. We are real. We are live. More FM stations in areas all across the nation and on satellite, terrestrial, and also XM Radio around the world are picking us up. This is your chance to shine, folks. Help make the world great by getting in the ground floor to help us share in the cause of freedom. Please make a phone call to area code 252-833-9067 in order so you can make your credit card or debit card donation. It's a tax deductible donation to the IRS to help set off your taxes, showing you gave to something like this. Plus, it'll help you with your taxes. Plus, it helps us to stay in the war, to fight, to share the information across XM, FM radio. Lots of costs involved. All we're asking is for you to help us raise that $1,600 that we've been talking about this month and last month. So we lost two, sadly to say, sponsors back in the month of May. If you can help us out, simply dial that number when you get a chance today, sometime, 252-833-9067, to make that credit or debit card payment so it can help us stay in the fight. Everybody's having a hard time, but when somebody's doing something good like what I'm doing, this is something you need to support if you have extra money to do so. Or if you want to challenge God to bless you, you can support us that way too. Whatever you send will be a blessing. No matter how small, it's still important. And no matter how big. I'm Michael DeSilvis. Thank you in advance for helping support New Under Church of Christ online ministries and also our radio ministry on the In the News Update Network. All right, take care of our podcast. If you want to find us, before I go, I forgot to say this. Go to your favorite podcast venue where you subscribe or pay for our content. Simply type in top headlines, national and international news stories, and then you'll find our podcast. That's the title of it. Thanks for supporting us once again. From the bottom of my heart, Michael DeSilvis signing off.
That in our society, and we're so quick to, well, maybe you and I aren't, but some others are so quick to blame all of society's problems on things like, oh, we're just not helping the poor enough, or it's a gun problem, or any number of reasons, but we don't come back to the broken family and how important fathers are in fixing some of these problems. Do you have any thoughts on that you want to share?
Yeah, I have a lot. I mean, I grew up in a family of nine brothers and sisters, and so 11 of us, very strong set of parents, you know, and in an Irish Catholic family, you know, 11 people living in 1,200 square foot home with one bathroom that's the size of a closet, right, of a small closet. You know, I mean, so when I think about fathers and the impact of fathers in my life, my own father, and he's deceased now, he's a World War II Korea vet guy and retired as a sergeant from the Army. He had an extraordinary impact on my life. I think what has happened is there have been a purposefully and intentionally destruction of the family, and particularly the removal of the father from the sort of the center and as the champion for, you know, in this case, his family, right? And I think the champion for not only, you know, the spouse, the mom, the wife, whatever, but the children and that removal. And it's been intentional, particularly in some communities within the United States of America, and the breakdown of the family. You know, people can go study my background. They've looked at it in detail, but I think that the women's movement in the country early on was part of that. I'm not one of these guys that, like, you know, I really care what people do or say or want, you know, in their lives, who they want to love and all that sort of business. But I do believe that in order to have a society, we need to have strong men in that society. And I think it doesn't mean that they have to be tough guys, right? They have to be, I think, passionate, compassionate. They have to be you know, men of integrity. They have to be people who are willing to take care of, you know, the needs of their communities. But that doesn't take away from women, right? I mean, my mother worked her entire life. She worked her entire life. And she also went to school. And, you know, she graduated from law school at the age of 69 years old. So, I mean, and she worked full time raising all of us. So, you know, people can go, they can go pound sand when they start to go, oh, he's all, you know, he's not for women, you know, he wants women to be pat him on the heads and, you know, stay at home. No, I wasn't raised that way. And that's not what I believe. What I do believe, though, is there is a breakdown of the family, and there's clearly a breakdown of sort of fatherhood more than motherhood, because it's actually moms these days who are, you know, running the household, raising the children, working jobs, and they're basically, they're, you know, then the and the families are broken families, meaning that there is no two parents at home any longer, or it's actually fewer and fewer. You're actually not in the norm. You're the exception. If you're still this, you know, this typical family of a man and a woman and children, right? And so anyway, I could go on and on about that, but I really do believe that we need men to be champions in this country, and we need men to be champions for a whole range of things, but principally for the family and the unity of the family, and to come back to embracing that idea that that is a very wholesome and productive part. And it's actually for children, it is a fact. I mean, there are so many facts about children that come from a well-bonded, a unified family where they focus on different issues, and they focus on things like education. They focus on that sort of that family tie. Those children do much better in life. They thrive, and they're healthier, and they have a more productive life. So those are facts, and you know, again, people can go arguing, but I'll look them up. But that's kind of where I am on Father's Day 2022, and I love your sign in the back there, Freedom, whatever, I guess, Louisiana.
Freedom Lane, yeah.
Freedom Lane, there you go, Freedom Lane. I used to live in Louisiana.
All right, there you go. It's just a taste of my interview with General Michael Flynn. And we talk about freedom and the plans to save America more in that interview. I'm working on it, folks. I'll get it out and up on our page just as soon as I can. But that gives you a little taste, and obviously the most relevant part of today, it being Father's Day. So I did see, Kenny in Florida wanted to weigh in on this, because he says the problem with fathers of today is the family court system. So Kenny, let's go to you. You're on the air.
Hi, Christy Lee.
Hi, Kenny. How are you?
I'm good. I've been a daily listener since 2009.
Awesome. Thanks for your support.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I apologize about everything y'all sell. But yeah, this is a serious subject. I went through this in the state of Georgia. And a man is 10 times more likely to commit suicide and divorce with children, because the family court system takes about $60 billion a year in, wow, which is more than all other courts combined, on the backs of fathers. And I don't know if you've ever heard of ex-Senator Nancy Schaefer. She was killed, murdered, suicided by trying to change these laws in the state of Georgia because there's so much money involved. And nobody will address it. As a matter of fact, the only person that's ever addressed it with InfoWars was Rob Dude, did an interview with the Father's Rights Movement about 6 years ago. But nobody will touch this subject. They'll blame everything but the family court system.
It's interesting that you say that, because there's another group called Fathers for Justice. It's the number 4, Fathers for Justice. And I was noticing just the inequity when it comes to this, and just how women, no matter how qualified or not, just seem like they were always had the upper hand in family court and always just automatically got full custody. And I had been hearing about this so much that I tried to do this story way back when. I want to say it was like 2010-ish when I was in traditional news, and I pitched it so many times, and I had a lot of fathers that wanted to talk about this and the discrimination they faced for being a dad as opposed to a mom, and the news station never went for it.
Imagine that. But it is, it is sad and it's tragic. And for as much as we're talking about how there's no gender and whatever, you'd think that we could maybe finally address this situation.
There's no money in 50-50 custody because everybody does their fair share.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing the same issues with Child Protective Services, which is really scary too. It's like all of these government agencies, when it comes to those like with the family court system and those that handle the child support and the fees and the taxes and I mean the everything that they get, the cut they get before it even gets distributed to the mother. It's scary because we're seeing more and more that CPS needs to validate their existence. So how many of us parents are just gonna, they're just gonna come after us for like, oh, well, this is a home that doesn't accept gender neutrality. We're gonna take kids. You know, it's getting really scary.
Yeah, I call it pay-per-view for fathers.
Yeah.
My call. God bless you for, you know, what you're doing and everything. Alex has the best crew in the world, period.
Thanks, but it's always great to remind him of that. I mean, he could always stand to hear it more. Thank you, Kenny, for your phone call. And because I asked for it, and we were talking about how the jab is now affecting men's fertility and just men being able to have children, you know, on Father's Day, let's recognize the fact that the jab is destroying semen. Because I put this topic out, let's go to Lori in Pennsylvania, who says that it has, if she's been affected just by being around other people with vaccines. Lori?
Yes, hi. I called in a couple times before, but I gave, like I said, my two neighbors a ride to pick up their car from the shop. They both had the Pfizer 1 and 2. And the very next day I had the massive the headache and then the bruises over my legs. About 2 weeks after that, all of a sudden, for like 6 days straight, I just constantly just bled, like this bleeding out, constantly was just bleeding out. And it's been now a year, and I still, my period's never the same. Like some months I'll have two, and I had the jelly-like, they've seen the pictures, like the jelly-like clots. Mm-hmm. I had those too. I had, oh, like, they were like four inches long jelly-like clots.
So what do we do about this? Do we try our best to keep ourselves away from those that are fully vaccinated and getting boosted up?
I would definitely stay out of their cars, number one, and stay out of small rooms with them. You know, if you go into their house, just try to keep your distance. But they say the house and the, well, cars, the cars are the worst. And if you have to go into a bus, I mean, I don't like wearing the mask, but if you have to go into a bus or into a taxi or into a train, I would suggest wearing a mask because, you know, it does exist. I mean, here it is. I mean, I'm still having issues. I'm still having the headaches, but my period's still never the same. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't plan on having any children right now anyway, so I'm not affected by it, but I'm still having, like, the massive chronic headaches and it's, like, numbness and tingling in my fingers and my toes, and it does exist, and, you know, it's just horrible, and I mean, I went to the OBYN, and of course they said, oh, it's from stress, you know? And I said, no, it's not. I said, I lost everything back in 2007 in a fire, and if that wasn't so stressful, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, thanks for shedding some light on that and giving us a real-life example of how just being around others. What do you think, Lori? Do you think that this could be affecting men, too? I mean, if we know that the jab affects their quality to procreate, we'll say. Do you think them being around people who've been vaccinated?
I have been on BitChute, and I've been looking into shedding on BitChute. And I actually had somebody say to me that it was a guy, and he said that he had, you know, sex with his girlfriend that was vaccinated with the Pfizer, and he says he can never get another erection ever again.
What?
He told me that. He actually told me that. He said that ever since he had sex with his girlfriend that had fully vaccinated with Pfizer, that he can never get another erection ever again.
Yikes.
And he told me that on BitChute.
All right, ladies, if you're on a dating profile, just put pure blood, unvaccinated. I won't affect your ability Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. But thank you, Lori, for that insight and for sharing those thoughts. I do want to preview the next in the next segment. I am planning on talking to a woman and who owns a gun shop in Georgia, and just talking about, since Second Amendment is in the news and we're hearing gun shop owners are getting booming in business, she has said that her business has actually suffered. Now, she's her business partner is her dad, so keeping with the fatherhood theme, that's what we're going to be talking about in the next segment. But as long as we're talking about fathers and gun rights issues, I did see when I was doing another story on these shootings and how they always blame it on guns and we need more gun control. I was like, what are the other things that tie these shootings together usually? And I found that most of them were on some kind of drugs, or they were from broken or fatherless homes. And so I have a few articles here from the Heritage. Here is the crisis of fatherless shooters. If we're going to prevent the next Parkland, we need to take seriously the need of all of our young boys and men for a dad. As another mass school shooting stuns America, it's time to talk about not just how to protect students from shooters, but also what must happen so that we have fewer shooters in the first place. And it says there's a sobering theme repeated over and over in the biographies of school shooters: the fatherless of a broken or never formed family. Among the 25 most cited school shooters since Columbine, 75% were reared in broken homes. After Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre, scholar Brad Wilcox called attention to the work of criminologists Michael Gottfredson and Travis Hershey, which found the absence of fathers to be one of the most powerful predictors of crimes. He explained that fathers are role models for their sons who maintain authority and discipline, thereby helping them develop self-control and empathy toward others, key character traits lacking in violent youth. So again, that's from the Heritage Foundation, The Crisis of Fatherless Shooters. That's an article from 2008. But we're seeing other people acknowledge this, including the Washington Examiner. Of course, fatherlessness contributes to violent crime, including mass shootings. So wanted to bring that into the discussion. We'll talk more about that in the next segment. But first, I'll go back to your phone calls. Let's go to, where did I see that? Oh, David from California. David, you're on the air.
Hi, Christy. Nice to speak with you again. The gift that keeps on giving.
I'm glad to hear it.
You remember me, right? But I always say that to you. I wanted to just talk a little bit about what's going on with language, the manipulation of language, because it's an extremely important topic, and I have about five examples. One's a biblical example, by the way.
Okay.
This whole thing with manipulating language coming in the early 80s, because you know what the big conversation was in the early 80s? This is when Rush was becoming big on talk radio, and Joy Luz Behar just got a job on ABC Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
The big question was, should we have English as a second language or Spanish as a second language in this country, or maybe as a first language? And I would remember thinking to myself, it's not going to be before long where they start manipulating other things. For example, everyone tries to make it a point to say Democratic Party. Well, Democratic is, it describes a noun. Mm-hmm. It's an adverb. Democrat is the noun. The proper use of the term is Democrat, because there's nothing Democratic about the Democrat Party.
Right.
Okay. The other thing that really bothers me is people use the word challenge inappropriately. Okay? A problem is always a challenge, but a challenge is not always the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I find English particularly difficult but beautiful language, because if you follow, if you study the grammar and the construction of the language, it follows, except for spelling, it does follow a very logical pattern. And if you understand how grammatically how to use the language, it makes you smarter. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really sad to see the destruction of the English language. We've seen all kinds of words just suddenly changing definitions, like vaccine, like immunity, like gain of function, and it's always to not be held accountable for what these words were originally supposed to mean. I mean, for God's sakes, we can't even define woman anymore.
Correct. Yeah, as well, it's a way to manipulate and brainwash the public.
Right.
Here's a biblical example, okay? This is from the Ten Commandments. Interesting, I don't know if you're aware of this, the first five commandments, the way it was set up, the first five commandments from the Ten Commandments, it was set up that the first five are laws between God and man, and the second five are laws between man and man. Now I apologize for putting you on the spot here. That's not my intention. I just want to see what you're going to say. Can you tell me what the sixth commandment is?
The sixth commandment?
Right.
I know the greatest commandment is love. I don't know what the sixth commandment is offhand.
It has to do with capital crime. The sixth commandment.
Murder. Thou shalt not murder.
Right. Okay. You said it correctly. Because most of the time in print, you see, it says, thou shalt not kill. And there are actually two different words in the Hebrew language. To kill is lahaol, and murder is tirtzak. And it is the second word that's used as the sixth commandment. So you'll find in the original Hebrew that
it was murder.
Murder. Yeah, that's gotcha. Never arbitrary, because whenever you hear arguments, like people who are Christians who want to abstain from the military, yeah, but killing's a sin.
Yeah, it's so important to get to the root causes of words, and especially in Bible study, getting down to the original translation. Hey, we're out of time, David. We do have to go to break, but thank you so much for your phone call. I love this topic. I love the meaning of words, and we'll get back to your calls when we get back. Christy Lee in today and chatting with all of you fine people. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And our next guest is going to be a gun shop owner and her dad. So excited about that. But first, since I opened the show on this whole subject of, you know, our Father in Heaven and Adam being the first earthly father, and how I just decided just for fun to start reading some of the extra books, we'll say, in the Bible, like the Book of Adam and Eve, Book of Enoch, and stuff like that, which I'd never really dove into before. Just thought I'd check it out. Let's take a call real quick before we go to our guests, because Daniel wanted to weigh in on the Book of Enoch. So Daniel, you're on the air.
Hey, I thought it was worth noting that the Book of Enoch, as it's seen nowadays, pretty much on a basis that everybody encounters it, it's three fragments, or it's three portions, or three segments.
What's three segments?
The first segment.
Enoch?
The Book of Enoch.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And the Book of Enoch, only the first segment is cited in the Bible, in the Book of Jude. And then the second and the third segments are called fragments of the Book of Noah. And if I'm not mistaken. And for me, I really do question the second two segments, because the third segment, which is like third Enoch or whatever, it gives the wrong reason for why Noah was named Noah. So in Genesis, it says that you should name him. Now, Genesis 5 verse 28 and 29, where Lamech has some. He said, "You need to Noah, because this one will give us comfort for our work and from the hard labor of our hands caused by the ground which the Lord has cursed." But in the third book of Enoch, it says, "And call his name Noah, for he shall be a remnant of you, and he and his children will be saved from the destruction which will come over the earth on account of all the sins and all the injustice."
Okay, so basically, since there's two different descriptions of why, that's why you question the other two. What are your thoughts on the book of Adam and Eve? Do you think that there's any validity to that, or what do you think?
I haven't read the book of Adam and Eve, but now if you have two different reasons why, that to me is not reconcilable. You cannot reconcile them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
One is not true. Then the second segment of the book of Enoch, it claims that the sun is given seven more portions than the moon, but seven more portions of light than the moon.
Hmm.
Well, the moon is not given any portions of light at all.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it depends on how you interpret it. Maybe you could say seven is the number of perfection or whatever kind of nonsense you want to say. To me, there's no reason to grant it the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
The only one that's actually cited in the Bible is the first segment. And it's reiterated. I mean, it's actually just going over concepts that are already given about the angels that fell. It's not really dodgy. So that's my two cents on the
book. Well, no, I appreciate you breaking that down, and I appreciate that you're really trying to get to the validity by comparing it against the other parts of our written word, the word of God. So thank you for the phone call, Daniel. And I do want to get to our guests. Those of you that have called, please stay on the line. We want to get to you at some point throughout the show, and I'll keep on looking at the screen there and get to you as soon as I can if you want to hold. But I do want to get to our guests today. So if we could welcome in Annette Brutam, you'll have to tell me how to pronounce that. I guess I should have checked that sooner. And Chief, her father, Annette and her father have been in the gun business since about 2011 with a gun shop there. Thanks for coming on today, Annette and Chief. So Annette, how do I say your last name?
Brutin.
And Chief, can we get your name, or are you just Chief?
My real name is Robert. Last name is Brutin, of course.
Okay. Annette and Robert. And what's the name of your gun shop?
American Patriot Range and Gun Club. We also have a shooting range.
Awesome. So Annette was telling me a little bit about how, you know, kind of started from the home and you've been able to expand and get a shooting range and all of that. So there's been some growth, obviously. What has it been like over the years as far as resistance? And now, obviously, there's a lot of resistance to gun ownership. What's it been like navigating all that?
Well, I think what I would say is, in the beginning, there was very, very, very little resistance. We were working during the Obama administration, and gun sales were just wild at the time. A lot of Americans, especially conservatives, were concerned that President Obama was going to try to remove our gun rights, or a lot of those gun rights, to also limit the ability of us to purchase certain products, namely that really bad assault rifle.
Yeah.
You know, to hear about. And so it was really, really, really crazy. I mean, I was working full time at the time, and it started out as just kind of something fun to do. And again, as Hot Mess here told you already, we were working out of our home, and we were only open 4 or 5 hours a night, and it was just absolutely incredible, the response that we had to it. So eventually we ended up having to open up a gun shop, we were actually in the gun shop for a couple of years before we also decided to open the shooting range. And now we've consolidated everything, including the gun shop right here at our shooting range, and that's where we're meeting at tonight.
Awesome. So if you're just joining us, we're talking to Annette and her dad, Chief. They own a gun shop. We're doing this thing for Father's Day. Wonderful to see you with your dad, Annette. And Annette, you and I talked a little bit about how you have kind of tried to take on the marketing for the business through social media, and it's been especially a struggle for you lately. Can you tell me about that, Annette?
Yes, you know, Facebook and their rules and regulation, although they're as long as you're FFL based and you know, brick and mortar company, they allow you to use their platform for sales, marketing, you know, just, it's just been one thing after another, posting stuff, just getting hit in the head with all kinds of stuff, and then banning me to restricting accounts. You know, it just sucks.
I mean, and this is what's so crazy about it, is because this is your business and you're talking about shooting and guns because it's your business, and you've discovered that you're getting violations and suppression on those pages. It's crazy to me.
It is.
I think what's really the sad thing is that Facebook's policies specifically state that brick and mortar and online dealers, businesses, are authorized to push their products, if you will, on Facebook. And that what they're really trying to restrict are private individuals who might be out there trying to market their products. Having said that, when there is a restriction or a violation of community policy, as they say, there's no way to communicate back with them. There's no way you can talk to them on the phone, for sure, and there's very, very little ability to appeal anything that they might say. They say that there is this committee that you can appeal to, and we've attempted to appeal to the committee on several different occasions, but none of our appeals, even though we've spent great deals of time writing appeals, are ever accepted by the committee. And so it's really, really frustrating. We're not trying to, you know, we're not talking about human trafficking or something like that. We are a federally licensed firearm facility. I mean, we are federally licensed. We've had every type of background check that you can possibly imagine. And we've been doing it for years.
Yeah, it's so sickening that these big tech companies can just choose to ruin businesses because it doesn't fit the narrative. Let's talk about, since you brought up the big scary AR-15, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, you see a lot in the news, this association between AR-15 and assault rifle, but that's not necessarily the same thing. Can you explain?
Yes. An assault rifle is any type of firearm that you might commit an assault with. And that's just not true. I mean, the true reality of it is that the AR-15 today is a modern sporting rifle and nothing more. It's a firearm that is a lot of fun. It's very, very accurate. And believe it or not, Alex, it's one of the least expensive to go out there and shoot today. If I go out there and I pull up a 308 or a 6.5 Creedmoor, which carries a whole lot more power than the AR-15, I may be spending $1, $1.25 a round to shoot these things. And there's actually the Army and the military in general are looking at upgraded firearms right now, because the AR-15 with the 223 and 5.56 platform is not as powerful as many other nations. And so they're looking at higher calibers now to replace the 223 5.56 platform. with something that is similar to a 30 caliber round.
I got another question that popped in my head. You see a lot of mainstream news reports that as far as this Uvalde shooting, which no matter which way you cut it, there's a lot of questions, sad no matter what. But you see these reports that these kids were decapitated and that they were practically describe it as turned into goo, for God's sakes. Is an AR-15, is it possible that it would do that kind of damage?
I think you would have to say that an AR-15 could do that, but also a 9mm could do that, a 38 could do that.
Okay.
And those both typically handguns. So for them to talk about just the AR-15 in that respect is just totally ludicrous. It's another one of those situations where we have politicians talking about things that they don't have full knowledge of. And even their staffs, you would think, would get involved and find out what the real deal is. But the bottom line is, I don't think they want to know what the real deal is.
Now, Annette, you were telling me that usually when there's these gun grabs, if you will, that business goes up, but it's been kind of a struggle for you guys lately?
Not really struggle, but it's just, it's hit and miss. We used to do a lot of shipping. Of course, we ship from FFL to FFL legally. That's what we, follow rules and regulations. We used to do a lot of that, and it's slowed down some, but we know, we've heard of other people that are, especially our distributors, they're like, man, these ARs are just flying off the shelf, we got ARs, as you can see them in the background, and, you want some, come and get them, baby.
And just as a quick plug, if people do want to look into supporting your business and ordering from you, like you said, you can do that. You can order, from one state to another, just so long as the current state does the background check and follows its regulations. Do you want to explain that and also pitch how people can do that?
Correct. So if you purchase from us, we are a federal firearms licensed dealer. So if you find something online and you want that, we will ship it to another FFL in your state. The FFL will take over possession of that firearm, the paperwork, and you will then do a background check, or, if you got a carry permit there, all the paperwork will be done on their side, so on your state side. And just as simple as that.
And what's the website to go to?
PatriotGuns@hotmail.com. Isn't that our website?
You could go to our webpage, which is PatriotGunsAmmo.com. But a better way of seeing everything that we've got up to the moment is to actually go to our Facebook page, and that is American Patriot Guns and Ammo. American Patriot Guns and Ammo. That is our Facebook page, and that's where Hot Mess here does all of our videos. Anytime new merchandise in, she gets up there and does her little thing. And I tell you, it's she's really brought marketing, social media marketing, to American Patriot, to the business, and it's changed everything that we do.
Awesome. I love seeing the interaction between a father and his daughter. It's so special on Father's Day, and thank you for taking the time on Father's Day to come on here. Now, you mentioned this whole background process. That's another thing I feel like we should cover, because with this big push, they're saying at minimum we need to require universal background checks, and there's just not enough restrictions, there's not enough hoops to jump through. As a gun shop owner since 2011, what do you say to people that say there needs to be more restrictions?
I think, again, it's politicians that don't know what they're talking about.
Because that's not true, right? There's actually a lot of hoops to jump through, right?
There are a lot of hoops to jump through. Our background checks are conducted through the FBI's database. Did you know that? I mean, it is the exact same database. When a police officer stops you on the street, and runs your tag, all of the same information that he's receiving is the same information we get back on a national criminal investigation check that we do. So we may not know the reasons why someone would not be allowed to have the firearm, but we get the same information back. Since 1998, which is when the current background system check was initiated, it's called NICS. That was started in 1998. There have been over 300 million background checks conducted. Out of those 300 million, approximately 1.5 million has come back as denied. Now that tells us one thing. When people are buying firearms legally through a legally licensed firearm dealer, it's the people who follow the law. The criminals, the bad guys, the convicted felons are not, for the most part, getting them from a gun shop. They're going out in the street, they're getting the firearms there, and that's what's going to happen regardless of what they do with firearms. The bad guys are going to end up with firearms, and the good guys are going to follow the law. I mean, we can see that where there were 300 million background checks done since 1998. And out of that 300 million, only 1.5 million have come back as declined.
That's unbelievable.
So give me the reality of people that are going to buy guns. People that are going to buy guns, are they predominantly people that want to use it for sport? Are people coming in saying, I just want to make sure that I have something to defend myself?
I think it's a little bit of both, Alex. We've got people coming in.
Well, my name's Christine. Alex, not to be confused with Alex, I know we look really similar, but Alex is not here. This is Christine.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. I thought it was cute.
but anyway, I think it's a little bit of both. We've got people who are collectors coming in. We've got people who are sports shooters. We have people who like to, I mean, it's like shooting is an Olympic sport. You know, now you probably won't find a lot of people who want to admit that in the government, but it's an Olympic sport.
Wow.
There are competitive shooters out there. We have a lot of our shooters that come here to shoot on our long range. We have a range that is 500 yards long. And we've got guys that can come out here and put a round and a quarter at that distance, okay? And that's what they get into. They spend a great deal of money to be able to do that with their rifles and their optics and their scopes. And a lot of them are, you know, in their 60s, some in their 70s, that they just enjoy the sport.
Well, what was it like to hear from our friend over there in Canada, Justin Trudeau, saying, we allow people to have them for hunting, for fishing, but if you want to use this for self-defense, you cannot get a gun in Canada for self-defense. Did you happen to see him say that?
I read it. I did not see it, Christy. And honestly, I think if it were up to a lot of the politicians today, it would be the same thing here in the United States. The only thing protecting us now are some of the strong political leaders that we do have that back the Constitution, and some of the other groups that are working with the political.
How is it in there in Georgia with the politicians in Georgia? Do you feel like you have support?
Yeah, I think for the most part we do. We had a little bit of a setback during the last senatorial election. We lost a couple of seats to Democrats, and so there's no way I would contact either one of my senators right now. But we have a governor who strongly supports the Second Amendment. Constitutional carry was just passed in the state of Georgia. And so, yes, I think we're a pretty staunch supporter of the Second Amendment in our state. I think we have some of our House and state representatives are even discussing the fact that we would be, for lack of a better term, a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment if any federal laws try to restrict our current rights that we have now. So I think we have a very, very staunch level of support.
Well, that's got to be encouraging for your business. One other thing I wanted to ask you about was the whole, what do you think about areas that people might describe as compromise, like these red flag laws? I know Governor DeSantis over there in Florida, and your neighbor, he's a very popular governor, but he supports red flag laws. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's got its pros and it's got its cons. Now, you know, if something happened to somebody and you know, hey, this person was assaulted with this weapon, and just so you know, they have to go to the arbitration of it, and they say, hey, because this happened and this is a violent situation, we're going to take your guns. I understand that, but just go into somebody's house and take their guns and that kind of thing, I don't think that's happening. But you know, I think it has some pros and cons. You know, it sounds messed up, but it has some good, there's some good reasoning behind it.
If
I understand it.
If it's done right, Christy, and if it's done with due process in mind, that's okay.
Right.
We've had that for decades. And what it used to be called was a restraining order.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Awesome.
And now they're referring to them as red flag law. Now, a red flag law, to me, there's two different types. First, there's the one that is completely and totally unconstitutional. And that is where a third party walks into law enforcement and says, you know, hot mess here, she threatened my life.
Yeah, so the one that could be used just vindictively, and then the one that includes due process. Hey, thanks, guys. Out of time. Got to go to break. But make sure you support Annette and her dad, Chief, at American Patriot Guns and Ammo. Thanks. Sunday Night Live. Happy Father's Day, everybody, and a big thank you to our guests in the last segment, Annette and Chief, father and daughter, owners of a gun shop, living the patriotic way. The gun shop is American Patriot Guns and Ammo if you want to check them out. Also, a reminder to continue to support InfoWars. Lots of great products there. InfoWarsStore.com. I like the vitamin D gummies, the X2, all kinds of ways to level up your health. We don't know what they're gonna do as far as releasing the next bioweapon, so your best bet is to make sure that you're good and healthy so that you are prepared. So make sure you stock up. I really like the bundles that they have going on right now with the immune support. Like I said, the vitamin D gummies, which are delicious, the X2 Survival Shield. So it's great because you're supporting yourself, living a healthy lifestyle, but you're also supporting the resistance, our ability to come to you unfiltered, not banned, not censored, like we were talking about in the next segment, that all the big tech companies do. You can't really just talk things out and speak truth, but you can hear, and you can come here for truth and honesty and true curiosity. We actually want to dig in and figure out what's going on. So thank you for your support, everyone that's watching, for you're supporting InfoWars and you're supporting independent journalists like myself. And we thank you. So I do want to get back to your phone calls. Some of you have been patiently waiting, and some of you fathers are also on the line today, hopefully enjoying your Father's Day, but also appreciate you calling in. So let's take some of your phone calls real quick. Let's go to Brian in Washington. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, Christy Lee, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I really like, I enjoy when you come on Sunday. I really like your positivity and bright eyes and the way you look at things. And anyway, it's Alex and Owen are awesome host, but always enjoy when you switch it up.
Thanks.
But I wanted to make a point. You're bringing up the different books that are not included in the typical the Bible scripture.
Yeah.
You know, something I learned growing up, and you made me think of this when you brought the topic up, but Adam, not only is he the first father of the human race, right, but he's also the first prophet, right? He's also the first man that conversed with God.
Yeah.
And I think people don't really, kind of in the general text, we don't really think of him that way, but literally he was, you know, so.
Yeah, good point.
So one of the callers brought up the family court system,
mm-hmm.
and I went through a divorce in Oregon, and I have a daughter. And one of the things I learned in that system is when that caller talked about the system being rigged, as far as the money scheme. I learned that very well. It was. The court system, it's not a jury trial, right? It's not, you don't go through, like, you don't have a public defender, you don't have a jury, it's not a trial by jury, especially in these liberal states, but it's really rigged for the lawyers, right? You sit in front of a judge, you have to have a lawyer if you want to, you know, not totally get burned, you know, totally screwed out of everything that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a decent lawyer. With some credibility. And what I saw that lawyer do in my case, and I have one daughter, during that whole interaction, on weekends that I would have my daughter, because I would travel to Oregon, that lawyer would set up, he would send counter offers, or they were almost insightful. They were almost infuriating, some of the responses that he would send to my lawyer. But he would always do that on Fridays before I would have my daughter.
Oh,
and
man.
What he was trying to do is create a contentious situation between my daughter's mother and I, right?
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to the trial, because what he was trying to do is he was trying to spin me as a deadbeat and all I cared about was money. So that is the way the system is rigged, right? And the rules and the laws are not set up by the legislature. They're set up by the American Bar or the State Bar Association. So those are the people that is the corrupt source of corruption is the bar associations within those states. And that was just my point on the system. But now the vaccines have rolled out, and I've actually caught my daughter was vaccinated, but my daughter was actually encouraged. There was no mandate requiring her to do it.
Mm.
But essentially, she was encouraged to lie to me about it. She didn't have to tell me the truth about it. How I found out about it was I could go on about the details of that, but I got into the Oregon system, their vaccination records, because
wow.
They keep vaccination records on everybody. I got suspicious, and so I went to talk to the pharmacies, and they said, oh, yeah, you got to contact the Oregon vaccination or immunization records. And there it was. My 9-year-old daughter had the Pfizer vaccine.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's the other part of that a lot of people don't talk about is just the source of contention between parents that are not together and are sharing custody or have some custody arrangement, and how it's always the parent that is pushing for the vaccine that is considered the favorable one and the one that they listen to, and it's just so criminal.
Right. You know, and I my family and I, we're trying not to get too worried about it, and we hope and pray that, okay, you know, there'll be enough information come out that she won't go and get Brewster's, and maybe she won't affect her.
Yeah, it's so sad, and it's like preying on the innocent, and this might sound silly, but if I was a parent in that situation and this was done to my child, I would pray for God's protection, I would pray for God's healing, and I would anoint my child with oil, like, and just speak over that situation and to say, God, there was nothing I could do to prevent this happening. This is just my innocent child. But I pray for protection. You know, I'm anointing my child with oil to pray a blessing on my child that you will guard and protect, you know, all functions of the body, and that this just does not affect my child. That's what I would personally do, take it or leave it. But
No, I really appreciate that you mentioned that, because that's not something I'd really thought of before, but now I will consider it. I've got some deeply religious leaders within my family and friends, so now that you
mentioned that. Yeah, or even your pastor. I mean, it's not uncommon for, pastors to be willing to come to, like, even a new home and go throughout each room and pray over the room and anoint it with oil. And I think these practices are still important. And in this case, we serve a loving and gracious and merciful Father. And I think that that would be so touching if you would come to him with other people that you trust that are spiritual and do this for your daughter. I think it would be great.
Yeah, thank you so much for mentioning that, and that's why I listen to you guys on Sunday Live, because these are the kind of topics you bring up, and it's so important. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you so much. Let's go to another father on this Father's Day. Let's go to Daniel in North Carolina. Daniel.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Well, I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there.
Me too.
Myself included. I'm 6 now. He's doing well. But I called in to basically try and spread the word here. I think we're in the midst of a historical situation here. What with this vaccine thing, if all that and this migration stuff hits real soon, we're going to have a whole lot of people that don't have very many male role models. Especially with this migration issue, if we're ever going to help them take their land back, we're going to need them on our side. So what I think is, we really got to be accepting and not consider every one of them an enemy, because they are refugees running from murderous cartels who've taken over South America for a long time. And unless we intervene or are generous to them, accept them, help them, we're looking at a really bad situation, like Alex has pointed out many times. Mm-hmm. And I think that we can turn this around, and we can make them allies like all the other times in history when countries have moved into each other. They either get along and become allies, or they don't, and somebody doesn't make it, So I think that's something. Here on Father's Day, we all love our children, and we all have nieces and nephews and people that we care about. We need to consider that even people that don't speak our language, we need to extend that to them at this time. They're in a much tougher spot than most of us are, and I know none of us are exactly happy either. But we can turn it around if we keep it positive.
I think it's a wonderful call to action. I mean, we definitely need a lot more fathers to fill the gap. There's a lot of kids that could use positive male influences, and if you are a father and you have, and if you're just aware of other kids, like you said, nieces, nephews, or whatever, that maybe don't have a very present father or whatever the situation may be, like, just fill the gap, see where you can make a difference, because we do have a crisis. Like I was just reading from these articles earlier, the real crisis with these shootings isn't the gun, it's fatherless homes. Yes. That is the common ground. It's these broken homes that are causing so many of our society's issues. It's fatherless homes, or homes that don't have a male influence, that is causing, in my opinion, this uprising of gender confusion and transgender, it's preying on the weakness and the hole in these little poor innocent kids' lives, and influencing them in a bad way. So that the answer is fathers, more male positive influences, and if you can fill that gap in other people's lives, what a great call to action. Thank you, Daniel, for your phone call. Let's go to Clown Car in New York City.
Good morning, Christy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Well, actually, it's not morning. What are you talking about? It's good evening.
Oh, it's Father's Day. You're right. I woke up late today. I wanted to say a happy Father's Day to Alex, but I know you're not Alex.
you were able to tell?
Yeah. Was he looking right at you when he said that? I think he was. Anyway, so Darth Vader wanted to let Luke know, Luke, I am your mother now.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how are we doing with Operation Vaccination? I understand, like, we're getting these death recordings from around the world, but one of the easiest things to do, Christy, was just
go back to 2015 and do like a global population, you know, they do like an accumulation of population thing every year from forever, I guess. And the only year that's missing is 2019. I wonder why. But other than that, you could do that for every state. You could do that for every country, like United States, China, Russia. You could do that for every place all the way up to 2019. But then you don't see really a big jump in death until, well, now.
Yeah. It's...